This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Allison Keyes. This is the final weekend before the November 5th election, and the presidential candidates from both parties are barnstorming battleground states seeking last-minute support. CBS's Nancy Cordes.
We have reached the point in this campaign where these two candidates are hitting some of these battleground states for the very last time. Vice President Harris was here in Wisconsin all day yesterday, and now she will not be coming back. But her campaign says that its own internal polling shows undecided voters in these battleground states are breaking her way in the closing days of this campaign, in part because of some of the things Donald Trump has been saying on the trail.
But there's more than just the White House at stake. CBS's Scott McFarlane.
Both parties are vulnerable to losing their control in what they have now. Democrats have this narrowest of margins in the U.S. Senate, and they're already jammed up going into Tuesday night, playing a lot of defense in some very difficult spots. Republicans have that almost stalemated narrow majority in the U.S. House, they're playing defense in an awful lot of tricky spots.
In Texas, the state's top elections official has told the Department of Justice that its election monitors won't be permitted in polling places. The DOJ regularly sends monitors around the nation to watch out for potential voting rights violations. It is sending personnel to 27 states. A former Kentucky police officer has been convicted in the death of Breonna Taylor, a black medical worker killed in a botched drug raid in 2020. CBS's Nancy Chin.
On the third day of deliberations in his federal retrial, a jury convicted Brett Hankinson of using excessive force and violating Taylor's civil rights. Hankinson fired 10 shots into Taylor's sliding glass door and windows, but did not hit anyone. He faces a maximum of life in prison when he's sentenced in March.
History being made in Britain, where the first black woman now leads a major political party, the BBC's Moira Alderson.
Britain's main opposition Conservative Party has a new leader. It's Kemi Badenoch, the former business secretary. She's the first black leader of any of the main political parties in the UK and the Conservatives' fourth woman leader.
Back in the U.S., a shark bit the leg off of a surfer in Maui yesterday. Fire officials say the 61-year-old's leg was completely severed just below the knee.
I would like to commend the patient for his strength and wherewithal getting himself to shore. And I mean, that's extraordinary.
In Florida, a man is recovering after being bitten for the second time in a decade at the same beach, at Bathtub Beach in Florida. The 28-year-old says he was bitten there at the age of 16. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. One thing that's not a top headline in this election is our national park system. But conservationists want you to think about it when you fill out your ballot. Here's Judith Ruiz Branch.
The National Parks Action Fund scorecard tallies the voting records for U.S. House members on bills about park funding, endangered species, and oil and gas development in and around parks. In Wisconsin's delegation, all six Republican House members got failing grades on the scorecard, and the two Democrats got A's. Kristen Brengel with the National Parks Action Fund says they're not trying to pick on members of Congress, but hope the scrutiny will help to change some votes moving forward.
This is just part of our value system. Do we love these places? Do we want to take care of them? Do we want to make sure they have adequate park rangers in them? And this vote is just a direct way to tell whether or not your member of Congress cares about the future of our national parks.
Overall, Brengel says more House members received Fs than As, in part because last year the House voted to cut funding for national parks by 13%. The scorecard is online at nationalparksaction.org. John Anfinson, a retired superintendent for the National Park Service, says keeping the park system in good shape should be a bipartisan priority.
For every dollar America puts into national parks, they get about $15 back. It's a money generator for America. So I think it's a positive thing to fund national parks. It brings money back instead of taking money away.
Even without a national park, the National Scenic Trails and other lands managed by the Park Service here in Wisconsin contributed more than $64 million in visitor spending last year to the state's economy and support over 900 jobs. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, highs in the mid to upper 50s. Lows in the low 40s tonight, some rain after midnight. Rain is likely on Sunday. It'll be windy with a high near 53. Rain and thunder for Sunday night. Temperatures around 50 degrees. Rain again Monday.
Currently 46 degrees.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, Ben Wickler, chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, joins me. We will preview the election on Tuesday. Plus, what's the right way to deal with election stress? I got answers. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Raised in Wisconsin, Joel Clayfish, live from Vinaros, España. That's Spain, for everyone else who doesn't know what España is. I aspire to know España. Danielle Fairman, my trusty sidekick, is in the studio, and covering duties for me on the side is Ellie Mae Smoller. What's going on, ladies?
Hello, man from the future. It's crazy to think that you're already at Wednesday and we're still in the past on Tuesday right now. But when everybody hear this, they're in the future on Saturday at 11 o'clock.
I'm going to use this opportunity to brush up on my Spanish.
Okay. Well, be careful what you wish for, because I have to put some disclaimers out there. First of all, sound quality is probably not what you guys are used to listening to us on Raised in Wisco, but we love you joining us because I am literally broadcasting from Spain, and technology allows us to do that, which is so exciting and awesome. But I also have to apologize because I have about 2 hours of sleep in me for the last 48 hours. I'm totally jet lagged. I've got my brand new European hunting hat on, which is a little Indiana Jones-ish.
It is definitely.
It is very Indiana Jones-ish.
You're going to be in a cave later for sure.
I put it on and I thought, wow, I look like a garden gnome.
Now I want an Indiana Jones garden gnome.
Yes. We're ordering that tonight on Amazon.
Dr. Jones.
Gnome Jones. Well,
Dr. Gnomes. So I have to tell you, it is so insane going to another country to start a hunting expedition. And we were staying in Vinaros, Spain. So we flew from the United States into Barcelona. But here, there was a king ages ago, early on in Barcelona, who had a lisp. He spoke with a lisp. So he would say the word Barcelona, Barcelona. And in this entire region, I'm not even joking about this, everything that's got an S sound has a TH sound to it now. So it's gracias, Barcelona. And it's crazy. In the Spanish that I learned, the little Spanish that I know and the little conversational Spanish I know, I learned in California. And I spoke it with many folks who were from Mexico. So it's kind of Mexican Spanish. And it is totally and completely different than regular Spanish. But I think Ellie Mae Smoller, who's filling in the co-host seat while Danielle runs the ship for back home, you speak Spanish, do you not?
Oh, not much anymore. I took 4 years of Spanish. I used to be able to pretty fluently speak it, but now I've not practiced it in years. I don't have a lot of people to practice with here in Wisconsin.
I feel like you two can practice right now.
Oh, this is very terrifying.
I can say cerveza. That's pretty much
it.
Muy bien.
And you know what's crazy? Because I'm here with Jonathan. He's a good friend of mine.
Oh, he's a good guy.
This is his first time. Yeah, Danielle, you know him very well. You've hunted with him out at his place. And he's a great guy. But this is his first time ever in Europe. And I think it is kind of like culture shock to him because everything in Europe is very small. And
very small?
Very small.
Like, talk about food, small chairs, portion sizes,
food.
Listen, let me just say, I think earlier tonight I got stuck in the bathroom.
In the doorway or like
in the bathroom? I think I could not shimmy my way out of the bathroom. Everything is so tiny here. They have tiny waste baskets, tiny portions, tiny people. All the people are thin and fit.
You're basically a Polly Pocket Indiana Jones.
it's Polly Pocket world over here. But the people are very, very nice, or at least I think they are. But I think I've got
you can't
out.
Tell what they're saying anyway.
I can't tell. They speak so fast. My most familiar thing that I say to people is demasiado, por favor, which means slow down, please.
Oh, because no.
When I will... And we're in an area, Vinaros, if you're in the bigger cities, a lot more people speak English regularly. But if you get into the smaller cities, and Vinaros is a very historic city in all of Spain, and it's just absolutely beautiful. The church is built from the 13th and 12th century, and so it's cool. On the coast of Spain. You go down the Baltic Sea to get here. We took a train. And it was just so incredible. And the people are very kind, or at least I think they are. They could have a smile on their face and be saying, this guy is such an a-hole. And I'd be like, thank you. Gracias. Thank you for calling me an a-hole.
I feel like Joel Clayfish, when you go on hunts out of states and everything, you always go to some historic place. Like, you make it not only a hunting trip, but you make it something to remember by going back into history and learning about the past and why it's there now. And I admire you for that. And I want to do that, but I'm not there yet. One day. Well,
one day, Danielle.
Danielle, you are going to South Africa.
I know. That's so cool. I'm so jealous.
And that is such an incredibly historic part of the world. And so many of the tribes in South Africa and the kind people, you can immerse yourself in that culture there. And it's incredible. But I think this goes back to one of the tenets of Raised in Wisco. Raised in Wisco is not a show about just killing animals or harvesting, you know, catching and killing and eating fish. Or animals. It's a show about culture. It's a show about Wisconsin and the wonderful things throughout the state and experiencing those things. To me, the experience of going somewhere to hunt is just as much about the culture of the area you're hunting.
Absolutely.
And the people who live there and the food and the culinary aspects of it as it is actually about the hunt and about killing an animal or killing, you know. I brought my lederhosen with me on this trip. I really did. And I know
it'll go well with the hat.
Lederhosen is not necessarily like a Spanish tradition, but it is a European tradition to hunt in lederhosen and a wool hat and have this respect for an animal. And you know what? Another bizarre thing is they don't really wear camouflage here.
They
do not wear camouflage because that is giving the hunter too much of an advantage over the potential animals that they're hunting. So they give out of respect. They want it to be a fair chase, fair game kind of thing. And they wear goofy hats like the one I bought. I actually bought two hats. A little later in the show, I'm going to wear one of the other hats.
Ooh, outfit change.
So that you
perfect.
Can see it. It's really, it really looks goofy on me. So you'll get to see how goofy it looks, but it's a very traditional golfer's hat.
Joel, do you think that we should start bringing back that kind of mentality when we should not wear camouflage over here as much? Do you like that over there? Do you think it's a challenge over there or different? How do you feel about it?
I think that it's just there are different ways to look at hunting no matter where you're hunting. There are even different ways that people look at hunting throughout the United States. There mm-hmm. are areas that it is against the law to bait, for yep. example. There are, you know, throughout the states, there are some areas that say you can't, you know, shoot a duck before 9 a.m. Mm-hmm. Because it's too advantageous at that point because the ducks, you know, don't have any chance to see you when they're flying in that early. So I think this is something that, in my personal belief, and this is the beauty of being a hunter and being a gatherer, you can fashion your beliefs around what you feel is right. And for me, in this area, I feel that yielding to what the culture of the place you're hunting is kind of the best way to do it.
Absolutely.
But I will say, in Europe and throughout many parts in Europe, they do the last meal for the animal, where they put they put some of what the animal forages in its mouth for photographs of that of that animal to pay respect to it, and then you put a sprig of it in your hat. In a hat just like the one I'm wearing, which yep. looks a little Indiana Jones-ish. And you do that to honor the animal that you have harvested. And you also do that, I found out, because they don't brag about the hunt when you come back. You don't tell people what you killed. They see that sprig in your hat and know that you had a successful harvest, which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah, that is. Do you, when you go overseas to some place like that that has that kind of tradition, do you think that people look at you differently, the outfitters, like saying, oh, well, this is someone from America, so they're going to be hunting differently or have a different respect for the animal? Do you ever feel that? Because not going to lie, I kind of worried about going over to South Africa because I don't know how they view us Americans back mm-hmm. here. Like, do they think that we brag, I guess you could
brag
say?
Or disrespectful?
Is it disrespectful posting pictures all over social media saying mm-hmm. we harvested a awesome goose or speckle yeah. belly or anything like that?
Wow, that is a really awesome question, Danielle. I hadn't thought about it. And, you know, one of the cool things about Raised in Wisco, which, by the way, we love you having you along, and we love talking about these issues with you. Sometimes we get a little serious on the show, and a lot of times it's very light and very fun. But I think contemplating these kind of ethical and moral issues that affect hunters is really important. And I think you mm-hmm. bring something up, Danielle, that's really important. And that is that people everywhere have preconceived notions, but then there are those who don't allow their preconceived notions to prejudge people.
Yep.
I will say that what we can do is have the most respect for the culture we're invading. And I don't mean invading literally. I mean the culture we're going to be a part of to hunt something. And it has been very different for me. It was different in Austria than it was in France, than it was in South Africa. And all we can do, the best way we can represent the United States and represent, you know, harvesting is, number one, as I believe, utilize the animal you kill.
Absolutely.
Eat it. Make food mm-hmm. from it. And you know that there's nothing that I kill, even in foreign countries, that I am not eating.
Food is your favorite dish.
Food's my favorite dish.
Mine too. And when you're in...
Well, I think it is, although I both of you end up a lot more fit after you eat as much food as I do. But I don't know. I think maybe my age is just showing. It just seems to find my waistline a lot easier.
Oh,
I honestly think that it's up to us as Americans who travel other places to make sure we are respectful of the culture we're participating in. And I think it comes back to us, and we have this chance mm-hmm. for other cultures to say these Americans coming here hunting and participating with us is a really good thing. I can't
yes.
wait to tell you about tonight's recipe. It's unbelievable. It has to do with sika deer. We're gonna move our Wisco week, daily Wisco, into the next segment, and it's gonna be great. I'm in Spain. Danielle's in the studio. Ali Smoller's in the studio. This is Raised in Wisco, Spain edition.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
Matt Nair on air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Woman pleads guilty to trying to smuggle 29 turtles across a lake in Vermont into Canada by kayak so they could eventually be sold in Hong Kong.
So they could vote illegally in November.
Stop box turtles from voting. She's facing 10 years in prison.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Todd Alba joins us. Hey, Todd.
We're here in front of the Bonham Theater to talk entertainment. Todd forgot his battery pack. We are running off of Todd's truck engine.
I don't want to rub salt in the wound, but if your travel budget got cut, I'm just wondering if it coincided. All of a sudden, I got like a 10 grand a week per diem. I don't know if that is related.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Well, I remember that summer, the green Van Dyke, the rodeo show neath the Idaho pines. We drove through the night, barely made it right on time.
Welcome back to Raised in Wisco, Spain edition. Spain edition. Spain edition meaning Joel Clayfish is in the future. He is the future man right now. He is at 2 o'clock in the morning in Spain with us on Raised in Wisco. Thank you, everyone, for joining. So we ended the conversation talking about the ethics of hunters, especially overseas. And as Joel was saying, that it's pretty great to represent yourself, not only in the States, but out of States, too. But not that I'm aware, because I don't hunt overseas, but I don't think anybody has a bad conception of us Americans, because we do respect our animals. We just respect them by not putting a sprig of what their last meal was. But I actually kind of like that tradition. Do you think you would bring that back here on your next hunt, Joel?
I have to tell you, what's absolutely crazy is I had a hunt in Texas last week, and we'll get to that too, because I took my son-in-law, Gabe, my brand new son-in-law, hunting his first big game animal of his life last week in Texas. And actually my wife said, you should put, you know, the last bite in the mouth of the animals that you harvest and start, you know, doing that in the United States. Because when people ask you why you do that, it's a really cool thing. You know, we were talking about in Europe, in many countries in Europe, when you harvest an animal, you put a sprig of what they eat in their mouth as an homage to them, their last bite, their last meal. And then you put a sprig of it in your hat. And that brings me to the fact that I'm wearing what I consider kind of a goofy hat right now. It's a European hunting hat.
We consider it goofy too.
Thank you, Ellie. I appreciate that. It's a European hunting hat. I went to a European hunting store today, and I'm just so happy that I can do these experiences and share them on Raised in Wisco with all the folks who come up to me. And I want to say thank you to everybody who listens to Raised in Wisco every Saturday at 11 o'clock on all your Civic Media stations throughout Wisconsin. I am starting to have people come up to me in the public and say, I listened to Raised in Wisco. That was so funny. I have to be honest, and Danielle, 90% of the time, it's, oh my gosh, Danielle is so funny. And I don't know.
I know. She get it from her
mama. I agree. She is funny. She's fun to listen to.
She's funny. No. And I hope you take the same attitude I do, Danielle. I don't care if someone's laughing with me or at me, as long as they're laughing, because I can make fun of myself.
Yep. I'm put on this earth to make people smile. Like you said, either at me or with me.
And that is certainly something that is a credo that I have in life, which is, if you have the opportunity to make anybody's life even slightly better, you have an obligation to do so. And that is kind of what Raised in Wisco is about. We talked to you about the opportunities in Wisconsin to get outdoors, to harvest your own food, to bring it to the table. Every week we've got a fantastic recipe, and I can't wait to share the recipe with the folks this week. It's fantastic. Ellie Mae Smoller, who is sitting in the guest host co-host spot today, we have really started to talk together about food. You are, I feel like, almost as much of a foodie as me. I know Danielle loves food.
I'm pretty obsessed with food. Like, I don't know how else to say it.
I'm obsessed with food too, but you've started to get creative with wild game as well. And you come up with some crazy stuff that I'd never even think of.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the whole fun of it. You know, I look at recipe books all the time, look online for recipe inspiration, and I'm all about jamming a whole bunch of recipes together. I measure with my heart. I swap out proteins. I think it's the fun part of cooking, just experimenting, kind of like a scientist in a kitchen.
See, when you talk like that, that stresses me out so bad. If I have the ingredients in my cabinet or in my fridge, I'm texting my neighbors. I'm texting somebody. I'm going to the store. I'm like, I need heavy cream. I don't know what to do. What do I do if I don't have heavy cream?
Improvise.
I have to make a whole new recipe now. It's cooking stresses me out. So I have to say thank you to you, Ellie, and to you, Joel, for both feeding me really good food. I'm definitely getting the benefits of this.
Well, let me tell you something, Danielle. Cooking stresses everybody out to a certain degree. And that is part of kind of what the joy of overcoming it is. Anything in life, anything good in life is not gained without a little bit of stress, right? That's a fact. And uncomfortability. You know, you are going to South Africa for the first time in your life. You're going out of the country to go on a hunting trip. You're going to be nervous. You're not going to know the culture. You're going to worry about the things you say and the things you do and how you act and
what you're
going to
eat.
No, I'm not
Danielle
worried about
Fairman.
That.
No, don't worry about that. The food's amazing. Johnny Fetty Safaris is unbelievable. You're gonna worry about how you represent yourself, how you represent Raised in Wisco, how you represent, you know, the United States of America. And part of cooking, and I don't want to over exaggerate this, but cooking is very similar to accomplishing just about anything in life. So I want to challenge you, because I will do this. I will get the protein out first. I will thaw the goose breast, the duck breast, the venison, the sika deer, the alligator, and then I will try to make something with what I have in the house.
Mm-hmm.
So don't pull the recipe up first. Pull out the meat, thaw the meat, because then you're on a time clock. Once you have that meat thawed, you've only got a few days either in the fridge or that day to make it. See what you've got and start thinking to yourself, what flavors of what do I eat that I like that might be good using this protein in it instead
cumin.
Of
I love cumin.
Yourself.
Cumin. So you want to make some tacos.
Okay. Well, you're quite a human being.
Oh,
there it is.
Is that the dad joke?
The count was low. The dad jokes have officially started.
That was a good one.
Today, that was cute.
Thank you. Thank you.
I think it's the hat.
Well, you know, cumin is often used in Mexican food, and it is sometimes used in Spanish food. I am in Spain, coming to you from Spain. Danielle Fairman is in the studio with Ellie Mae Smoller. And what a blast we have. And we really appreciate taking you folks as listeners along on the ride with us. Jess, I have to say, is running the ship back there. And I know that kind of some of her first experiences, not her very first, but have been with eating some of the wild game that we have brought in. And I think Jess, I'd like to poke you, and I'd like to ask you, how has your experience been so far? And has it made you more likely to eat wild game or less likely?
Oh, certainly more likely. Especially, I mean, if you're bringing me food, oh man, just do that every time.
Well, that's awesome. That makes me very happy, because I think we should really try to start bringing food in every week. I think we should have something to talk about. We do talk about recipes every single week. We still got our weekly Wisco to go, and I have a really great one. Go ahead.
I'm going to start something new when I cook. WWJKD. I'll tell you what it is when we come back.
WWJKD. This is Raised in Wisco. Recipes, Wisco Week. New hunters, new food.
See you now.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for matinee on air.
CBS News Brief. Candidates from the presidential hopefuls and other races are rushing around this final weekend before the election Tuesday. Millions have already voted. This voter is making her choice on the issues.
I want the leader that's leading us or the person that's representing our country to also have the same view, which is that everyone gets to decide what they want to do with themselves, you know?
The mother of Breonna Taylor, the black woman killed in a botched police raid in her Kentucky home, is glad that a former police officer has been convicted.
12 jurors who chose to do the right thing, who took their time to understand what was really going on and that Breonna deserved justice. So I'm grateful to everybody involved.
Britain's Conservative Party has its first black leader, and Kimmy Badenoch is thanking her fellow party members.
Our first responsibility as His Majesty's loyal opposition is to hold this Labour government to account.
CBS News Brief. I'm Allison Keyes.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
It's the Packers and the Lions. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The top two teams in the North Division meet tomorrow. Green Bay against the Detroit Lions at Lambeau Field. Showers expected. It looks like Jordan Love will be able to play, but his center, Josh Myers, who has a severe left wrist injury, is listed as doubtful.
I think the big thing for me is I just got to make sure I'm not going to hurt the team by playing, so I just have to answer that question.
Kickoff at 3:25. Baseball, the Brewers are getting Reese Hoskins back. The 31-year-old first baseman will earn $18 million and says after leaving the Phillies, the Brewers were always at the top of his list.
Milwaukee was always a great paper fit, as I can stand back and kind of take a 10,000-foot view of baseball itself and where I may fit in that as an athlete and as a competitor. So I'm glad we're able to kind of get the nitty-gritty and all the details done just because it's such a great fit.
That's the Brewers' Reese Hoskins. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, highs in the mid to upper 50s. Lows in the low 40s tonight, some rain after midnight. Rain is likely on Sunday. It'll be windy with a high near 53. Rain and thunder for Sunday night. Temperatures around 50 degrees. Rain again Monday.
It's 48 at our studios.
Wisconsin has many state symbols, but did you know there's an official ballad?
Oh, Wisconsin, land of my dreams.
Oh, Wisconsin, land of my dreams, composed by Sherry Sarazin.
I don't think it was an hour, and I had the music matched up.
With long ago help from her grandmother.
She wrote a poem in the late 1920s about where she lived in Wisconsin.
And it's now the state ballad. So are these also official Wisconsin symbols? The Kringle, Wood Violet, American Water Spaniel? The answer coming up. The official process can take years and includes advocating the legislature to make it law. Now, along with the official ballad, are the Kringle, Wood Violet, and American Water Spaniel also state symbols? Yes, each is a celebration of the state and a slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kaylin Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah, that was a lot better than the original person?
Oh my gosh, I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think you should. Because now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's talking on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
Next, I'm joined by former 2nd District Congressman Republican Scott Klug and former Republican Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen. Your vote will help save democracy. We discuss
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Raised in Wisco, Spain edition. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish. My co-host, Danielle Fairman, is back in the studio. I am live in Vinaros, Spain, just down the coast from Barcelona. We're out here. We're going to be hunting Beseti Ibex in about 3 or 4 days. I'm extremely excited about that in the mountains. This is one of those events that I will either make it through and it will be one of the greatest experiences of my life, or I will die trying, because we're going to be up at about 5,000 to 7,000 to 8,000 feet above sea level. Ooh. And the air gets a little thin up there. My knees get a little weak. My hips hurt. Arthritis sets in and it's tough to breathe. Anything else?
You make it sound so lovely.
I'm into my mother.
And you haven't slept.
Mom, how's it going? Well, I got this ache over here. I haven't slept. I'm jet lagged. Is it obvious, you guys, that I'm jet lagged?
No,
you're hiding it well.
From, the jet lag.
The hat. Are you going to go back to the hat, Jen?
See, we like this hat.
I like this hat. Yeah, we all agree we like this hat.
So this hat really matches your outfit.
Yes. For everybody listening, please go to Facebook or on YouTube, and you can watch what we're watching. Joel is live in Spain, but we have a hat chronologue.
We have a hat outfit.
What
change?
Is it? What's that word I'm talking about? Chronologue? I don't know.
Maybe. That's the word. We have a progression of hats.
Yeah, we have every segment we're on, Joel puts on a new hat. And this is actually really entertaining for us because it is different types of hats.
Danielle and I are bummed out. We did not bring hat changes.
I know. We need outfit changes.
We talked about changing our flannels.
So the first hat.
Are you wearing flannels? Oh yeah,
we both have flannels on.
That is very Wisconsin.
It is very Wisconsin.
You know, I love when we talk about submersing ourselves in different cultures, and that happens even in Wisconsin as you go from place to place. The south side of Milwaukee is very different than Superior, very different than Minocqua, Door County, Racine area.
And you betcha.
One of the things that's really cool that I love to do when I go to another country is honor their traditions. I like to wear the type of hunting clothing that they're wearing. I actually brought my lederhosen, and I have my European hunting hats. But I also, one of the cool things to do is to bring hats or clothing that is very specifically American, because I like. Some people are like, oh, they're going to know you're an American. And I couldn't be more proud of
that. Yeah, you're welcome.
That's pretty great.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think that's pretty great, too. So I like to wear my hats, from The Foul Life or my Raised in Wisco hat that I have. I will wear those so people will ask about them. Now, I have to tell you, I'm in Vinaros, Spain. It's not in Barcelona. It is very, it's small by standards of, Barcelona and Madrid. It's only got about 50,000 people in this city, but there's also tourists. But the tourists here are from Europe. The vast majority of them are from other parts of Spain and Europe. This is kind of like maybe like a Wisconsin Dells place in Wisconsin. So there's a lot of Wisconsinites and Illinoisans. So there's Portuguese and Spanish here, but they do not speak English here. Like people do not speak English here. And it is helping me realize how absolutely horrible my Spanish is that I thought was so great.
I thought it was
first
great, too.
First of all, well, thank you. Yes, but
mine's pretty bad,
though.
I can
assure you it is not great, because what I ordered today at the restaurant, I thought I was ordering, like, fried cuttlefish, and it ended up being like goose liver pate.
Oh,
and it came to the table,
the
and
world?
I looked at it, and my friend Jonathan, who's along, who is his first time in Europe, he's not used to the tininess of everything and the little tucked in corners and the regional food, which I'll be honest, if you're not used to that, it takes a little getting used to. It really does. I love all food. Food is my favorite dish, so I did not have a problem with it. at all. But, you know, poor John comes along and then I order something that I think we're both going to like. And it ends up being something that's completely wrong. And I'm thinking, my Spanish is horrible. And I can't tell you how many times I've said to people in the last 24 hours, habla inglés? Usted habla inglés usted? And then they shake their head, no, they don't. And I think, oh no, here we go. The guessing game starts. And I think that's what happened, because I went to a hunting store in Spain, in Benaros, Spain, and literally ended up leaving with a shirt that didn't fit and two hats, and one of them's ugly.
Sounds like a fun joke, Lee. It's adorable.
And the funny thing is, you know, you think to yourself, do they, you know, oh, he was trying to just get you to buy things. That is not the attitude in Europe. It's very casual, very slow paced. Everything is relaxing. They have 3-hour breaks at lunch. You go to a store when it's supposed to be open between 11 and 3. There's a very large chance the doors will not even be open.
That sounds lovely. Yes, it does.
The median income is like $30,000 a year, which translates to about 25,000 euros a year. And they enjoy life. They focus on the enjoyment of life. Sure, they do their jobs. But you go, I had the most unbelievable cafe con leche. So it's basically a latte, right? It was the most delicious, unbelievable latte I think I've ever had. And it was €1.50. And that would have been a $7, $8 drink at Starbucks.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, easily.
And so at least you ordered the right coffee drink. That would have been horrible. Priorities.
Right coffee drink. I was excited about that. And man, it's just incredible. You go into a store and they just let you look forever. You go into a restaurant, they sit forever. You have to ask for the check or they will not bring it, because they expect you to just sit and enjoy and sip your coffee and have another coffee and then maybe order. I mean, a lot of them will have a beer or a glass of wine at lunch. I mean, it's just the culture is just so filled with enjoyment and joy. I think if there's one thing we could bring back to the United States, that's a little bit of enjoying life. Stopping to smell the roses, calming down, staying off of our phones. You look around a cafe in Spain, nobody's on their phone.
That's
and they're
incredible.
Just enjoying life. I'm sitting here ticking away, looking at emails every 10 minutes, and they're relaxing. And they kind of look at you like, well, too bad you can't enjoy life the way I do. So that is something that I definitely try to do. And, when I was at the store trying on the European hunting hats, and I got it, it's so funny. I said, I really like this shirt. And the guy says, he says something to me in Spanish, which probably meant, we have it in different sizes. That's what I think it meant. And he's looking at me and I said, XL. And he shakes his finger at me. No. I said, no, XL. Mira, aquí, look. I'm saying, look at my tag on my shirt, XL. No. He prints out a shirt. That's a 3XL.
Oh, no.
And I put the thing on. My man boobs are sticking out. It's tied on me.
Oh, my goodness. So you have a nightgown.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm thinking to myself, well, sizing sure here is sure embarrassing.
Oh my goodness. I would have been mortified. I'm like, no,
4X,
I'm out.
Please.
Oh no.
Oh wow.
But that's even true here. Everywhere you go is completely different sizes. I'm a size 4 in some pants and size 12 in others. I'm like, well, this is fun. I like this. This is a fun guessing game.
I think when they're assigning sizes, they just pull numbers out of a hat.
Yep, I think so too. Yeah. There's nothing true to size. Nope. No, thank you.
Joel, at that point, is that when you panic bought the ugly hat?
Well, that's when I was like, I'll take the hat. I'm sure that doesn't fit. I'll take them all. Oh my gosh. But I left and I thought, well, I can put the shirt on under a vest. I love wearing vests, right? Vests are trimming. I love they keep you warm, but you can still flex your arms. They're great for hunting and doing
t-shirts
stuff.
Do not go underneath vests. Do you think they
no.
do?
Well,
no.
Okay.
Certainly not.
Long sleeve.
Long sleeve, certainly. Absolutely. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, that is a pet peeve of mine, wearing a short sleeve shirt with a vest. I just think it looks goofy.
Yeah, same. Don't
this
do
is
that.
Your fashion notice from Race and Wisco. Please do not do that.
I won't do that. In fact, we got to get to our weekly Wisco. I'll go off the top of the bat here and say my weekly Wisco actually was the one day that I was back. Between Texas and Wisconsin, I took Jessica Thielen turkey hunting. We were turkey hunting together, and out from behind us came this one turkey, poked his head out, and I talked about it this week. But the reason I wanted to bring it back up again is because Jessica had never hunted anything before in her life. And she purchased a shotgun for herself, and we breasted out the bird, and she's literally sending me back and forth potential recipes, and she's all excited about cooking this bird. And to have somebody who is so sold on it so quickly, there is really nothing more exciting to me. And that's why on Raised in Wisco, we want to share with you what it's like to get in the outdoors and to experience the outdoors and bringing it to the table. And I had this incredible week of hooking two brand new hunters. I took my new son-in-law, Gabe, Hannah, my daughter Ella Rose's husband out in Texas, and he shot his first big game animal of his life. One pop, one flop, perfect shot, beautiful shot, 120 yards. He thread the needle through a bunch of thorn buck, and he was so excited. He was absolutely hooked. He is hooked for life.
Yeah.
He loves it. He lives in Texas, and that was just incredible, and I cannot wait to tell you guys about what we ended up making with the deer that we harvested in Texas. That was phenomenal, too. So that was my weekly Wisco. It's kind of a combination of Wisconsin, Texas, but getting two new hunters hooked, I don't know that it gets better than that.
Oh, it definitely does not get it better than that. My weekly Wisco is not as exciting as that, because my weekly Wisco was a solo Wisco, which is good within itself.
That
not
is
going
good,
to lie.
Though, Danielle.
Yeah, don't have it, Danielle, because some of the stuff that you have the guts to go do yourself is blows my mind.
So this year, as everybody knows, I have a new boyfriend, Josh Belsky.
No.
We love Josh.
No. We love Josh.
His name Josh? Oh, God, I can't even. Really?
I thought it was Jack.
Jack. It was one of the J's. I don't know.
No,
the
you
dude.
Didn't, Jess.
The dude with the face. but one thing,
nice guy, by the way,
super nice.
One great thing about him is that he definitely encourages me to go out there and just to do it, because not going to lie, I have hunted for about a dozen years now, but it was always majority of the time with somebody. And I am trying this year a lot of solo things, to learning that the things that I have done that I do understand and know what's going on and how to reposition and what to look for. So this year is my first year solo hunting, deer hunting, for I'm going to say.
It's awesome, Danielle.
Setting up my own tree stands, awesome. Cameras, food plots, like doing the whole dang thing all by myself.
Solo's good
and
for
YouTube,
the soul.
And YouTube, not going to lie. And
it's a great resource.
And it's been wonderful. I saw a couple doe. There's a couple bucks on camera. So I'm hoping with the rut coming up that I will be able to harvest my first official buck. And I say official because the buck that I shot last time I made into earrings. That's how big the antlers were.
I definitely utilized
every part
it's
of the
antlers. It's still beautiful.
Yep. But that is my weekly Wisco, is that it is now pre-rut, so I'm going to be out there deer hunting for the next couple times. So if my weekly Wisco next week is just as, you know, uneventful but good eventful, I'm not going to be ashamed, because maybe next week I'll get that buck.
Maybe the you will. I think you're going to actually. You're going to do it.
New moon is starting on Monday, and we have the red moon coming up, so I'm hoping that's going to be good. But when we come back, we'll talk with Ellie about her weekly Wisco.
Oh, yeah.
And the recipes.
It's going to be awesome. This is Raised in Wisco. We love having you along.
Mm-hmm. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Professor Charles Franklin from Marquette University Law School. This is the last poll before we will go to the polls.
In the presidential race, we have it at a 1-point Harris lead, 48-47, with 5% undecided. And how those people make up their minds, who to vote for or if to vote, that's easily enough to sway this race.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Neighbor pulls at the moor, looks like he's punching in real wine. And the spring air's nice, but I squint my eyes from the sun. Things
hola, todas night. Las personas a el radio. Let's go.
That's all I can do.
That's pretty good, Danielle. Wow, you can really roll it.
I'm with Senorita Danielle and Senora
hola.
Ellie. Ellie? Well, that's how you pronounce it in Spanish, Ellie. Ellie
gracias.
Would be Ellie. Gracias. Gracias.
Gracias. Gracias.
In Barcelona, Spain, España. I'm coming to you live from Vinaros, Spain, and Danielle is in the studio. This is Raised in Wisco. Folks, don't forget to vote. It's coming up real quick here. And the people you vote for affect your daily life, whether you realize it or not. It's an important decision to make sure your voice is heard. Get out there and vote. Raised in Wisco is one of those shows that helps you, we hope, to enjoy the outdoors and to make Wisconsin a priority for you in your outdoor activities, in your eating habits, and your culinary delights. Which brings me to this week's recipe.
Ooh.
Ready? And this one
ready.
Is so easy. And it goes along with not always ooh. Having what you want for... Yes.
Danielle has her hand up.
I'm raising my hand. Before...
Are you raising your hand in
and
Wisco?
Raise in Wisco. I am raising my
Wisco. Hand. Is raised in Wisco.
WWJKD. This is why he is bringing it up during the food part of our segment, the recipe part, WWJKD, because both of you understand food and what you like and how Joel was telling us to just go with it. You know what you like, just do it. You know what you're doing. Mm-hmm. WWJKD, what would Joel Clayfish do?
We're going to make bracelets.
Yep. I feel like no, when please. I'm in the kitchen, make what would Joel shakers. Clayfish do?
Yeah, spice no, shakers.
I am honored. Yeah. I am honored and thrilled by the acronym and you saying, what would Joel Clayfish do in that situation? But be careful, because Joel Clayfish is very famous for some very bad decisions as well. And it's also like the what would Jesus do? And good God only knows I should not be compared to the man who walks on water. That is for sure. But
in the kitchen, though, it's
think
fine.
Of what yeah. we would do in the kitchen, that is an awesome analogy. I love it, Danielle. Thank you so much. This recipe this week goes kind of along with what we were talking about, not always having what you want to have for the recipe and kind of making it out of what you need. So I had a tenderloin backstrap, a venison backstrap. And I thought, what can I make that's different? And I was just like, man, I really could go for spinach pie. If you've ever had that.
Ooh, spinach yeah. pie. That's good.
Yeah, spinach pie. And I thought, wait a minute, that's essentially beef Wellington, right? Mm. So I kind of just made it up and I braised the backstrap. Well, first of all, I diced onions and mushrooms. And I didn't have ham or bacon, which is supposed to go in there too. But I just had, I diced onions and mushrooms and I put them into some boiling butter and sizzled them. And then I moved them to the side when they were getting limp, not when they're getting soggy, when they're getting limp, before they're soggy. And I braised that tenderloin in the stock, the juice that was created from the onions and mushrooms and butter. I braised it for 3 minutes on each side, and I couldn't find, they didn't have phyllo dough at the little grocery store where I was. So I bought the sheets of that light paper that they use to make the, not spinach pie, but they make the Greek desserts out of it.
Baklava.
Baklava. They make baklava out of it. And they're sheets. And I don't know the exact name of them, but they're kind of like phyllo dough. But they're baking sheets, like phyllo dough. They're in the same section and use them to make baklava. If you guys remember what that's called.
I forget what it's called.
Because I forgot what it was called. But I put 3 sheets that down. I put the back strap in the middle, seared, and I drizzled the sauteed onions and mushrooms over it. Then I put 3 sheets again on top of it. And then I wet my fingers and folded it into the side. I egg washed it and baked it at 400. It took literally start to finish 30 minutes. Sliced it open. It was perfect medium rare in the middle with the juice coming out of it with the sauteed onions.
Sounds delicious.
And then I did add some provider seasoning. Add whatever seasoning you want. But it was, I had never thought to myself, make a beef Wellington out of a deer tenderloin. And I didn't have the exact phyllo dough. So I bought those sheets of phyllo dough type dough they sell in the frozen section. And it worked perfectly. It was absolutely to die for. We're going to have the recipe and video on the provider Instagram. So check out the provider Instagram. You'll be able to see it. And it turned out just unbelievably amazing.
That sounds absolutely delicious.
Sounds amazing.
That was my recipe for the week.
I'm super hungry right now.
That does sound very good. I made coffee chocolate cake this weekend.
That sounds
really good too.
Yeah, it was actually delicious.
It sounds delicious. And I will tell you that when you are in Spain, as I am right now, I'm so excited. Technology and producer Jess has been able to figure out how to get us to be able to come to you live from Spain. If you go anywhere in the state of Wisconsin, in another of the United States, in a foreign country, make sure the desserts are part of what you try, because the desserts are so different from area to area. And if you don't know the language, try to order something, because even though I ordered something today and it came back completely different, it was still fantastic. Danielle, what do you got planned for this next week in the outdoors?
This next week in the outdoors, I am headed up north over by Kendall to go deer hunting. So I'm hoping that
you're going to get your solo buck.
I'm going to get my solo buck. That is going to be a goal. Putting it out in the universe. Come to me, universe.
I hope it works, because I have yet to harvest a buck with my vertical bow. So how about that, Danielle? Danielle, I have not killed a buck with my vertical bow. And that is something that I would certainly love to do one of these days. I consider myself a diehard hunter, maybe not the best hunter. I love taking new hunters, but I've never killed a buck with my vertical bow. Have you, Ellie?
Yes, sir. A small buck.
A buck's a buck.
I made a promise to myself that I can't buy a new bow until I get a big buck with it.
Oh, well, everybody has their personal things. And to me, everything that's harvested is a trophy.
And delicious.
Remember this. No matter how long you put those horns in the crock pot, they never get tender enough to eat.
But you can make earrings with them.
Yeah. You can make earrings with them. But if I can give one last shout out right here at the end, it's that don't shame people for what they're proud of harvesting. Deer hunting season's in full swing. The rut's in full swing. Enjoy yourself in the Wisconsin outdoors or wherever you may be. I'm in Spain. Going to have stories to tell you next week about Bassetti Ibex. And it's gun deer season coming up. We love you coming back on Raised in Wisco.
93.5 The Tap. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Derek Mosley from the Lubar Center at Marquette University will be here to break down the latest polls. And we will wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air. Weekday mornings at 10.
It's time to get out the truth about Eric Hovde. Hovde made his money the old-fashioned way. He inherited it. How can he relate or make decisions for us? Now he's the CEO of a billion-dollar bank in California and a huge landlord with people like Eric Hovde, the rich pay less, and we pay the price. I'm not a political person. I'm a mom. I would never vote for a person like Eric Hovde.
Paid for by a Better Wisconsin Together Action, abwt-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.